The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, it has been just over 24 hours since the United States blockaded the Strait of Hormuz, but it is still largely unclear how the US is going about fully enforcing this blockade. Ship tracking data over the past day has shown some ships actually managing to pass through the strait. And this comes as some proposals continue to be traded between the United States and Iran, but both appear to be quite far apart on agreement when it comes to Iran's nuclear capabilities. Joining us now to look at all of this is Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Good evening to you, Sean.
Good evening to you.
Can we start by talking about, I suppose, the negotiations such as they are between the US and Iran? There are several sort of key points: the Strait of Hormuz, the proxies, the nuclear situation and Lebanon. Where are we at in terms of all of that, do you think, at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to tell what's going on inside President Trump's head. Before the negotiations started, President Trump said 99% of it is around the nuclear. In other words, stopping Iran getting a nuclear weapon, stopping them enriching uranium. Now, it's very difficult to see what other blockers there were on some sort of deal. But the Strait of Hormuz, if you remember, President Trump sort of vacillated between this being important and then saying, it's no interest to America. We don't get anything out of the strait anyway. Over to you. But the harsh reality is, of course, his frustration has meant that he has imposed a blockade on day 46 of this war. And that has a serious risk of escalation, particularly when you look at China's position in all of this.
Because if China's ships are targeted, the ones that they have maybe paid a toll on and the ones that Iran have allowed to pass, if they are targeted, do you believe you could see a time where China enters the fray here in some manner or form, Sean?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's far more likely that, I mean, it's worth remembering that China apparently takes about 90% of Iranian exports. It's also about 50% of its oil comes from a combination of Iran and the Middle East. And therefore, and there's an oil for arms deal, very much like other countries have done with Saudi Arabia. That's where Iran is able to secure some anti-ship missiles from China. And also have been lots of reports they've been taking some more air defense missiles off them. Now, China, therefore, so far, it sounds like the flow of oil has been continuing despite the straits being closed, because Iran has said they're open to our friends. But the challenge, of course, is that if an Iranian tanker full of oil heading for China is now intercepted by America, that does risk an escalation. I do think what's more likely, though, is there'll be a judgment that the more people can get involved in negotiating a way out of this and getting China involved and motivated to ending the conflict, it might well be that they've got a vested interest. And rather than fighting, China will never want to join this fight. What they'll be looking for is how do they use their influence and expertise to bring the conflict to an end.
Okay. In terms of the nuclear issue, Sean, there appears to be mainly arguing now over the timeline. This is the timeline over suspension of enrichment. So Iran is saying that they will defer enriching their uranium for up to 5 years, and the US is saying they want 20. Does that sort of tell us that actually these are serious negotiations and perhaps a deal can be reached if all that they're arguing over on that front is the timeline?
I think it's worth pointing out that the last time this was negotiated, the JCPOA, I think it was called, it was something like 18 months before they even got to the point of actually negotiating. So the prospect of doing this in a matter of hours or days, frankly, is naive. And therefore, the best I think we'll be able to do is get to the stage where they agree to disagree on what the core components of a deal look like. Bluntly, Iran is not going to abandon its nuclear weapons program without some massive guarantees. And at the moment, there is absolutely no trust between Iran and America, particularly since the last time they were negotiating. They seem to be making progress. And then all of a sudden, the 12-day war happened. So this is about trust. It's about time that President Trump doesn't have. And I think that the Americans have got themselves in a bit of a cul-de-sac here where they desperately need to get their fingers out of the mangle. Iran may well be serious. I mean, Iran will want the conflict to end for all sorts of reasons. But at the moment, they'll feel emboldened. But what they don't want to do is attract the ire of America and suddenly go back into another bombing campaign. But to be quite frank, neither does America.
OK. Before we come on to the Strait of Hormuz, just briefly on Lebanon, the first direct talks between Israel and Lebanon in decades. Are you optimistic that something will be achieved from them?
Well, short answer is no. I think it's pretty clear that Lebanon doesn't want to have an armed Hezbollah. Hezbollah does not represent the majority of people living in Lebanon, but Lebanon has been singularly unable to wield its influence, given that Hezbollah attracts Iranian support, money and arms. There's no doubt that Lebanon, this is a thorn in the side of the Lebanese, and Prime Minister Netanyahu can negotiate all he wants. I suspect, if I was to be cynical, this is a bit of playing to the audience, because Netanyahu's probably been told to back off a bit while the two-week ceasefire is in place, not to hijack President Trump's efforts to get his finger out the mangle. But it's quite clear Netanyahu has not finished dealing with Hezbollah. He sees this as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There's all sorts of talk about annexation, you know, that buffer zone up to the Litani River, perhaps a more permanent solution. That will take time for Netanyahu to achieve. So I don't expect much to come from these talks. It's largely letting the clock tick down till Wednesday next week when the ceasefire ends.
Okay. And maybe finally, Sean, the Strait of Hormuz, the double blockade now, if you will, Iran is blocking ships that it doesn't want to pass, but the US doing the same. Is this tactically a clever move by the US?
If it is, then I'm too stupid to see it. I don't quite understand how blockading a strait that's already closed is going to help. I do understand how it's trying to stop the oil revenues that Iran is making. But by all accounts, Iran has got loads of ships already laden with oil out of the straits, and therefore countries like China have got oil till July. It feels to me like Iran has got much more time on its hands to see this out than America has. America needs to get this resolved in days, if not weeks. Iran doesn't. And therefore, it's quite difficult to see how this is actually going to work in practice.
OK, maybe finally then, strategically, do you believe that Iran has the upper hand here?
Well, it is weird, isn't it? I mean, I was meeting some American colleagues earlier on today, and I had to admit, you know, from a military perspective, the supreme dominance of the military machine that's done an amazing job militarily, that military action has not delivered strategic success. And if you look at where we are today, before the war, Iran was a black sheep, it was under sanctions, and it wasn't in control of the Strait of Hormuz. Now, it feels like it has flexed its muscles, it's got more influence and leverage in any negotiation. And despite US military dominance, Iran's got a strategic stranglehold on the West and its energy. It does feel that it's in the driving seat at the moment.
Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.